Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Eat Your Words on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. And today we're going to have a special episode that was spurned over, I think, a few happy hours amongst the Heritage Radio Network community. I wanted to start with the thought that, you know, today food is sort of, or food media is the new porn. We talk about food porn. And, you know, look at it during the day in our offices. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about how women and media have evolved over the years. So I'm joined by expert guests. They are both hosts of shows here on Heritage Radio Network. It's Lei T. Su, host of Word of Mouth.
Hello.
Hello. And Mary Izzett, co-host of Foment About It.
Hey.
All right. So this is so great because we have three hosts. And you guys are amazing, like, women in food outside of Heritage Radio Network, too. Mary, I think you're, like, one of the foremost beer women.
Women in beer.
For a long time. Lei, you do a number of food projects all the time. I can't even keep up.
I connect food people.
You connect food people. And so you meet a lot of people. And we've seen, you know, a changing face of representation of women in media. So I just, you know, for example, I think that, you know, the beginning of food media as we know it was shows like Julia Child. And, you know, even not too long ago, you know, shows like Lydia Bastianich's cooking show, very simple, were very matronly. You know, the stereotypes was, you know, motherly, definitely not sexualized at all, I would say.
Yeah. No one really
actually
pictures Julie Child
almost like anti-sexualized,
yeah.
Too. And it was primarily for women learning how to cook. And nowadays, a lot of all sorts of audiences are digging into food and drink media. For various reasons, and there's a huge community out there. So what do you guys think of, and I know you both work in a few niches, too. There's also international food representation.
Right. Well, such a pleasure to be on your show, Kathy, and it's also fun to be on the other side of the mic. We're having a conversation, but
you can interview me too.
I'm gonna totally grill you. Well, okay, so this is fun because lately I've been thinking a lot about how much the world wants and needs an Asian woman millennial, Anthony Bourdain, Gary Vaynerchuk, Oprah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of folks who are kind of like that, very opinionated and very stodgy, you know, sort of, you know, food obsessives,
or just that everyone loves women, right? Everyone loves women. Everybody loves Asian food, and
yeah,
you know, I look at the media landscape, and there's not that expert. There's a couple of folks, but not that female Asian expert.
Right. It is very much a man's world, and also professional dining, which we can talk about too. But Mary, what do you think about, you know, the world around you? And,
yeah. Well, so I come mostly from the beer side,
yeah,
as you guys both know.
So male dominated.
Right, exactly. And it's so funny because I just judged, New York City has an annual homebrewing competition that's sanctioned by the American Homebrewers Association and the BJCP. So it's an official competition. We had 666 entries. I should have asked for the breakdown, but you know, we had judged the competition yesterday, all day, Friday night and all day yesterday at Alewife in Queens. And you know, women are still a minority, even in the home brewing world, definitely in the professional brewing world. But
there were some women who were entering.
But
contest?
I would say, yeah, absolutely. There were. We had a couple women that won, that placed. And then also, but even just looking at the judges, I'd say probably somewhere like 5% of the judges there were women. There was a handful of us, mm-hmm. and that's it.
So can I tell you, one time I went to a beer event at with the Edible put on, and it was the first time in my life that the line for the men's restroom
yes,
had a
that's
huge
true.
Line. I took a photo of it, and it was amazing.
Yeah, but that is true, though, actually, because, like, Beer Fest now, that is something that I've seen. So I've really been into craft beer. Well, I started homebrewing in 2006, and I probably, you know, started going to Beer Fest and stuff like that several years before, and that has changed drastically. Now, like, I was at the Great American Beer Fest in Denver, which is the largest beer fest in the country, and yeah, there's, I mean, I'd say a lot of these Beer Fests, it's probably half and half. So there's definitely a lot more women drinking craft beer.
Okay.
But I don't, there's definitely not as many making it either on professional level or, you know, the home level.
I guess that leads me to, like, the professional questions. Like, what kind of limitations are there in these actual, like, career paths for women in both professional kitchens, you know, the chef track and brewing, which I think, you know, a lot of this is very physically demanding.
Yeah.
And maybe that there's some glass ceiling issues or just a thought that, you know, a girl is not tough enough.
So I mentor a lot of folks, kids, younger people, people younger than me, men, women. And I think, so before we even dive into the whole conversation, the industry, the landscape, a lot of it has to come from inside. Mm-hmm. So one of my biggest pieces of advice,
being inspired to do this, right,
is, or just to feel empowered, so to mm-hmm. and in the words that you use when you speak up, so taking the word trying out of your of your everyday. I hate that word. We don't try, we do. You know, watching out for the whole apologizing too much thing.
Wow.
You know, when a gal comes to a meeting and she's like sorry and she's not even really late, I'm like, why are you sorry? Don't be sorry. You know, that's, I'm really intense about that.
Yeah. That is really interesting. And do you think that just these normal kind of social norms maybe fall into differences between male and female that lead to different perceptions in the workplace?
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. So, I mean, if there's less female chefs that have reached like the apex of chefdom,
yep,
and craft brewer dumb,
right?
Like, so does that translate into less representation in the media in those roles?
I struggle with this. So if you look at my show lineup, you know, my show tends to be finer dining chefs, and that's definitely the one arena in food that is very underrepresented when it comes to women.
Okay.
Because that's like the kind of thing where you have to throw your life away, and maybe there is a glass ceiling thing there.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at my lineup and it's still not women enough. And don't hate me for saying this, but I get this gut feeling that when I reach out to...
And these are chefs we're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, chefs or restaurateurs.
Right.
So when I reach out to women chefs, I think they're more likely to be like, I'm too busy to do your show. And you can totally push back on that, and you can say, wow, you just haven't tried hard enough.
But you mean from experience, they have been, like, too busy.
That's my gut feeling, you know, and just not putting yourself out there as a priority, as a part of your work.
So the publicity is less important, maybe?
Yeah, they're focused on getting the work done, which is important, but, you know, that's my gut feeling.
Right.
Then sometimes you have a couple like Stort and Nicole Stort Brierza and Nicole Krasinski, who are the chef owners of State Bird Provisions, and they are equals, you know, as husband and wife and as partners in the business. As Stort is the savory chef and Nicole is the pastry chef. So
okay.
I have couples like that I make sure that even though Stort usually talks to the press, that I want both of them on with me.
That is really important because I do know a lot of husband and wife teams out there. And I mean, a great example in the beer world is Kelso, named after Kelly and Sonia.
Yep.
And they kind of co-run this, but it's all about like Kelly in the limelight mostly. And several restaurants, it's like a team business. So somebody takes one role, the public role, public-facing role, and it sounds like from your experiences that a lot of the times that public-facing role is the men's role.
Yeah, and it hurts me when I see that. And then I say, no, no, no.
Get in here on my show.
You're coming on too.
Yeah. It's great to get both sides and both perspectives.
And on my show, we talk about how they fell in love and all that jazz, and so I really like that, you know.
You wanted the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, the full picture.
Yeah.
So, Leyte, now you have this perception, or you've had the experience of seeing that women who do independently, you know, run a restaurant are extremely busy. Mary, do you see any, I guess, trends or traits amongst very involved women in beer?
No, I don't. I don't. I haven't found that to be as true, I think, mm-hmm. with women in beer. I mean, we have some women like Kim Jordan, who owns New Belgium. I mean, she's very vocal. She's very active in the community and the Brewers Association. And so I haven't seen that as much, I think, in the mm-hmm. brewing world.
What about like stereotypes in, let's say, like media? So blogging, writers.
Yeah, still more men, I'd say, mm-hmm. in that world. I'm thinking back to there's a North American Beer Writers Guild that I'm a member of. And
right.
I'm thinking back to our last couple meetings. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely, again, you know, mostly male, but there are some women.
And I find that because it's such a small niche of women in beer, that there's this like sort of emphasis on like the girl who liked beer.
Yes.
Like when you see like when you do see like experts in that world.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good look for you. It's pretty sexy.
Yeah, it is funny. I mean, well, because going back to like just talking about sexism in like homebrewing, right? I mean, when I first, I took the beer judging certification program exam to become a beer judge in 2006, the same year that I started homebrewing. And I had never been to the New York City Homebrewers Guild. That's where the classes were being given. So I showed up and I didn't know anyone, but I saw, you know, there's a guy sitting at a table and he has obviously the same papers that I'm, you know, mm-hmm. these training papers. So I said, oh, is anybody sitting across from me? Do you mind if I sit down? And he says, no, go ahead. And I was like, I said, oh, are you here for the BJCP class? And he said, yes. I said, I am too. And he's like, really? You're kidding. And I was the only woman in the class.
Wow.
He said, you're kidding?
Yeah. He like honestly did not believe that I was going to be there for the BJCP class.
This reminds me. So this is a good, here's a little thing that you can do, a little dance. Andre Mack, he used to be the head sommelier per se. So it was not women anymore, but he was like the head sommelier and he's black. And they'd be like, can we speak to the sommelier, please? Oh. And he'd like twirl around and be like, ta-da! So great.
I'm going to try that move, Mary.
Imagine that per se. Like, gosh.
No, but one of the cool things about Mary, I think, is that you don't really flaunt your girliness, I guess. Hmm. You're not like frou-frou and like pink.
Well, she's got a frou-frou scarf on. There's flowers on it.
That's true. But it's not like this hoot of thunk. Like,
there's not a lot of cleavage, which is sporting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can I use the word wench?
No.
This word keeps on popping up in my head.
But that's already been claimed.
Oh, the weird beer wench. I think mm-hmm. I follow her on Twitter or something. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you ladies. Mm-hmm. What, isn't it kind of a hilariously uncomfortable, and actually we're going to shout out to Adina Steinman, who is sick in bed with a cold and couldn't make it, but she and I were at a press dinner and we started to just sort of scratch our heads around this thing. Like right now you have, you know, food media being quite dominated by very, very talented food writers and editors who are women. And then the chef's world is very male dominated.
Right.
So you see this like this world where there's this very important interaction between
flirtation?
Women and...
interaction, yes.
Interaction, personal, professional. And it's really hilarious.
That is really true. A lot of the magazines, and Adina is a great, you know, she's at
Epicurious.
Epicurious, mm-hmm. and a lot of the colleagues, you know, of ours in print and traditional food media are women. Mm-hmm. So that is really interesting, and dealing with a lot of that chef gossip, I'm sure that, I don't know, it must be a little...
So for
it
me,
must get a little, you know, gossip. You know, I don't know where I'm going with that. But
well, for me personally, I've realized that the food world is like teeny weeny tiny, super duper minuscule, and yeah, there's I have to like, you know, even though I work and play 24/7, I have to keep the two very separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. because there is that feeling of it's being an in crowd and wanting to spill the gossip. It's a little bit like a hen house sometimes. You know, when we see like the latest news break and whose chef left for where to go with what partner at a new venture. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like it's good. It's like when you know people personally and you got the inside scoop on things, you have to have that kind of like intimate interactions in order to get that for media. But I want to take a quick little break and talk about our favorite and least favorite pet peeves in food media. So we'll be right back chatting more.
You are listening to Vroom Vroom by Ball of Flame Shoot Fire.
The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
We are students at Girls Prep, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
All right, we're back chatting more with Leyte Sue and Mary Izzet. So we're talking about women in food, and I don't want to make this into like any like negative session. So we want to talk about what we would like to see more of going forward. But first, let's just cover what some of our least favorite pervasive, perhaps stereotypes or trends that we've seen in our fields. Does anyone want to start, Mary?
Yeah, because I was actually just commenting when I came into the studio today that I was reading this blog article on sexist beer labels.
Okay.
And it was written by someone who owns a store, and they have actually refused to stock beer that had, you know, an offensive label.
Okay.
Now, granted that beer labels can be offensive there are
naked
beers out
chicks,
there.
Naked chicks
yeah,
on
well,
it?
Yeah. Okay. Like, panty dropper ale.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Makes me want to buy it already.
Exactly, right? Makes me want a beer called...
Are they trying to alienate?
Boxer dropper? I know.
Half
it's
the
crazy.
Market.
Exactly, exactly.
And well, whose panties are dropping?
So I'd say, I mean, I don't know. Sexist beer labels, like I said, you know, there's other beer labels that are offensive in other ways to other, you know, groups of individuals, but that definitely is one. And then I tell you my most annoying in talking about mm-hmm. kind of sexing it up and, you know, appearance and how
cleavage
is freaking like Instagramming a you know, women who Instagram, you know, beer and cleavage. I can't stand that. Like, there's
really?
No reason for that. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, when it's like, well, when it's absolutely
well, when is it not absolutely ridiculous?
Like, in your face. Yeah, I just feel like there's no reason for that. I mean, what, you know, if you're trying, yeah, I guess, you know, you want to get as many people to follow you or retweet you or whatever, but there's got to be better ways to do that. Better ways to, you know, talk about your favorite beer or what you're drinking or what you're doing without,
right.
you know, using...
That's a cheap one.
Yeah.
I just have a product that I really find hilarious and that I kind of hate, both taste-wise and marketing-wise, which is the Skinny Girl vodka,
okay.
stuff, all that. Those terrible mixes are disgusting to begin with, and then I don't know, like
I agree with you. I find that it's just
Skinny Girl.
Skinny Girl. It's the strangest brand name ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
who buys that? How can you? You know,
it's a diet. It's a diet alcohol, or mixer and wine too. I believe
it reminds me of the kind of, you know, girl that really, so I'm definitely 20 something, but there's definitely 20 something year old women who are royally annoying. That brand embodies mm-hmm. that for me.
Okay.
The high pitched voices, yeah. The, like, one time I was sitting there, you know, working away on my laptop on a Sunday, as I do at a coffee shop around the corner from my apartment, matcha bar. And all of a sudden, this, like, bunch of girls, like, descends upon me, and they just talk extra loudly, and I know if they're drunk from brunch, but, you know, like, I like our, like, serious, deep voice, you know, women type that I want to see more of in the media world.
Yeah, definitely.
I think one trend that I find particularly frustrating is celebrity women just coming out with cookbooks for no rhyme or reason other than that they're pretty, and then there's like photos of them all over the cookbook, and it's like very aspirational. Look at my kitchen, and it's great, and this is how I eat, and this is how fit my body looks. It's I don't know. I think it takes away, and sure, certainly the recipes can be fine. I know you didn't like come up with this whole book by yourself, but you know, there's got to be a better way to make cooking more accessible and not so precious and not so I don't know, unattainable.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think male celebrity chefs come out with cookbooks left and right for no good reason.
Not celebrity chefs, I mean celebrities. So I mean, like, Gwyneth Paltrows and like the Kris Jenners, and yes, she came out with a cookbook. I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
And
I wonder what's in that. I have to go pick that up.
I don't know.
I guess I'm not on their media list.
And I was like, whoa.
You should totally have her on the show.
I don't think she would come.
That would be amazing. Like, I would. That would be incredible.
See, this is my dilemma too, and this is why one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is because I get a lot of pitches that I don't know what to do with, because it doesn't seem like it has a point or a rhyme or reason for being other than like the male gaze of your beauty.
Well, I think what is pretty fun in food is that now food is no foodie, being a foodie, and that word is terrible too, but is no longer just for like us, you know, it's mm-hmm. for everyone. So it would be fun. You know, you could ask her the hard questions. You could be like, what is your food philosophy?
And might be royally disappointed by the answer.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't know until you ask. I'm basically dying for you to interview her.
Okay. All right. So what would we like to see change in the future, aside from me interviewing Kris Jenner on Heritage Radio?
I think in the beer world, it's funny, because I will say that, that even though, you know, I mentioned, there's been times where I've been kind of, you know, disbelieved as a woman. Like when I've, you know, been with a guy and I've ordered a craft beer or ask about a craft beer on the menu, and the waiter, you know, would talk to the guy next to me instead of me when I'm asking all the questions. Mm-hmm. But aside from like those couple, those are pretty rare times, honestly. Like, I'm treated with a lot of respect all the way around, even, you know, even whatever guys, as a homebrewer or a writer or whatever, you know, radio host, I don't encounter any sexism in the beer world. But I think that a lot of women that are interested in homebrewing or mm-hmm. brewing or, you know, talking about craft beer, they do feel intimidated. And that's what I would like to see change. I would like women to feel more welcome, mm-hmm. you know, in the homebrewing and beer community, period. I think that the community, the beer and the homebrewing community, is a very welcoming to people regardless.
Right.
But a lot of women don't feel that way.
They're a little intimidated, yeah, perhaps.
I think so. I mean, and, you know, granted, you walk into a homebrew, you know, a crowded bar, a homebrew club, and there's 30 guys and one or two women. Then,
yeah.
You know,
that is. I would feel a little discouraged.
Yeah. But don't feel discouraged, ladies.
I'm sorry.
Come on in.
All right. I'm going to take some Lady Soup power coaching lessons. yeah. Okay. So,
very but that's what exciting. I would like to see is that, you know, women just feel more welcome.
Cool. And you don't have to show cleavage.
That's right.
To do it. All right. So, lady, what's your dream come true for this topic.
Again, people could come up with examples left or right of incredibly brilliant women chefs and women in media that are just trailblazing. Mm-hmm. But I am excited to see more women apologize less. I'm excited to see all you women out there cut out the word trying from your vocabulary.
Right.
Because we don't try. We do. And there is so much room for for more women that reach the heights of, you know, like a Dave Chang or like a Mario Batali.
Mm-hmm.
That level of, like, everyone looks up to them and, you know, they've got in tremendous businesses, a lot of expertise, and mm-hmm. like there are more women out there,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna get them on my show. I'm doing my best. I really watch out for that.
All right,
yeah,
go lady. Check out word of mouth for sure. So I think you know, one of the ways that we can encourage more women in professional heights of their profession in the food world is really in institutional changes and the way we run food businesses and restaurants, where it's really difficult for anyone with a family, whether it be a man or a woman, to have a life and do this profession, which is very demanding. And I think it leads to this sort of mentality of, like, this really rugged, like, macho sort of, like, I can take it, can you, like, guts, no glory, mm-hmm. which, and you see people, you know, really crash and burn. It's very disastrous, and people don't, at least in New York City, and I know that San Francisco and other places have really improved on taking care of employees in the restaurant industry, but, you know, health insurance, for one thing, paid vacations, or just take vacation time, paternity leave also, you know, we'll see where we go with those things, and then maybe we'll see more just healthfulness and equal representation, equal opportunities. And I do think that leads to a sort of a media, like a voice in the media when talking about food that is very sort of manly, and there's some sexism in writing. And I mean, we can all talk about, you know, Anthony Bourdain as an earlier example of this, but I just think in general we see a lot of, like, oh, that food is, you know, sexy, and like maybe that's not the best example, but I think that we see some sexist writing here and there too.
Okay, like what is an example of that?
Well, you know, I guess the writing of Anthony Bourdain, mm-hmm. and then many imitators,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, you know, it's basically sexualizing and objectifying women in a lot of those books.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Hmm.
But, you know, we'll see. I mean, things are changing, and I hear about laws trying to be put in place to make maternity leaves, at least unpaid or not, like a general thing around all industries, basically.
Yeah, I agree with you. What I'm seeing in the restaurant world is that even male chefs are allowed to show their, I don't want to call it feminine side, but they, yelling is not as in vogue anymore. It's okay to
yelling is not in vogue anymore.
Yeah,
really?
It's okay to have some emotional quotient.
Memo.
Yeah, you know, I think people now. So the restaurant world has become more careery. You know, friend of mine, Alice Chang, started Culinary Agents. That's like a LinkedIn, but for the restaurant world. Now people have actual careers in restaurants, which then, there's less room for unprofessionalism. There's more room for growth and development and mentorship. And that is something that, you know, that makes me very happy. You can work for a male chef who gets it, or a female chef who's awesome, and grow within, you know, that restaurant or restaurant group. And that's great to see.
Yeah, totally. And I really think that the work that both of you are doing is really helping realize a lot of changes in both of your industries. So congratulations to you both.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad that you guys could talk here today.
Yeah. Kathy, what are you on social media?
Kathy Irway, mm-hmm. at Twitter. And Leiti?
At Leiti, LEITIHSU. And that's on Instagram and Twitter. And hashtag WOMSHOW, WOMSHOW, short for word of mouth.
And do check out Mary's blog, My Life on Craft. And
well, I'm not current, but it's it's going to come back up.
Okay, sorry. Your Twitter handle.
Yeah, the book is done. So I have a book, my first book out June 1st.
That's exciting.
I'm going to start blogging again more of what I'm doing in the fermentation world. And but I'm My Life on Craft on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter. Awesome.
I have to get my book going. You two ladies are so illustrious. Oh. Kathy Irway is multi book published.
Yeah.
Multi. Yes. Well, two. Okay.
That's a lot.
All right. Well, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much. And thanks to everyone at Heritage for taking on this special episode. We'll see you next week on Eat Your Words.
I like the way you do.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.